We discuss very key topics. We get into in-depth discussions on them. And above all, we try to inform listeners as to what's going on, truthful information, the kind of material that they don't get in the mainstream.
Well, I would agree with you, yes.
Oh, so important, Bonnie. And you have people on, because of what I do in my writing and all, I don't have a lot of time to listen to programs, but Guns and Butter is one I listen to because of the work that you do.
Oh, isn't that terrific? That's great. Yes, you mentioned that when you were here, when you were actually ready to present at Project Censored at Sonoma State University.
Oh, indeed. And that was a thrill, obviously, and it was a thrill to come into KPFA studio to be on Guns and Butter. It was a very surreal experience, Bonnie, and honestly was. I mean, I said to myself, now, what am I doing in these two places? unlike KPFA, Bonnie, we have commercial breaks. One comes up in about 2 minutes. So when you hear music begin in the background, it means a commercial is coming up.
All right.
I'll cut in, and we'll take a break and then come on back. But I want people to know what Guns and Butter is and how you began it. And as I understand, on 9/11, the day after I was on Guns and Butter, I was on with you on the 10th. The day before, the next day after I was on, mm-hmm. was your 6th anniversary. You began on 9/11, 2002, the 1 year anniversary after the 9/11 event. Is that right?
That's right. Isn't it interesting, the synchronicity? What are the odds that the start date for a regular programming of Guns and Butter would be on September 11th, 2002? Who could have guessed it?
No, you didn't plan it that way. It just happened?
No, of course not. It's just weird that they would give me that Wednesday slot, and that was my start date. You know, Steve, excuse me, I'm thinking that people who are listening to this are listening because they're familiar with Guns and Butter. And so I thought maybe people would be interested in how the show is produced.
Oh, absolutely.
Perhaps the history of it. Because it's an unusual show. It's odd for me to have this airtime on Pacifica. It's still, even at this late date, 7 years after 9/11, I believe it continues to be a controversial show. And so I thought it would be interesting for people to know how I got the show in the first place, because I don't think I could get on today because things have changed. There was a small window of opportunity there where I was voted airtime by a program council at KPFA that actually voted thumbs up or thumbs down for new shows. And it's always difficult to get a new show because that means that somebody else has to get off the air. And,
of course,
no one else ever wants to get
Bonnie,
off.
Bonnie, let's take a break. We'll come back. And you explain the history. It is important for people to know.
Sure.
We'll be right back. Bonnie is the host of KPFA Radio's Guns and Butter. Bonnie, let me just say a couple of things very quickly. I really wanted to have you come on my program. Number one, to thank you for letting me come on with you and be in KPFA studio to do it. Again, that was a great honor for me. And number two, because it's important that listeners know about the best programming around. I think more important today than probably any other time, we are really descending, and maybe very quickly, given the present financial crisis, Bonnie, there's all kinds of talk around about this thing may get a lot worse before it ever has a chance to stabilize and get better, and it may get far worse than people anticipate. And I must add that a couple of very, very smart people, much smarter than I am, have the feeling, who know markets, who know finance, they have the feeling that before this is over, whatever people think, even the optimistic ones, this will be much longer, much harder, much more painful before it ends. And if it gets even worse than that, then we can get into a situation where we have a very, very serious crisis. crackdown on the population that gets very, very upset about the terrible harm this has done to their lives. People's savings have been wiped out. Jobs are being lost. Homes are being lost. We can talk about that a little later in the program, Bonnie, and you've had wonderful people on like Michael Hudson to talk about that. But these are crucially important issues. One possibility would be to crack down on the media and take programs like yours and mine off the air because we're rabble-rousers. We tell people the truth. Shame on us. But these things are going on in the background, and guns and butter is such a vital resource to get this kind of information to people. And one more thing, Bonnie, no one more than you has been on the 9/11 story. You're on it constantly. This is the event that has shaped the past 7 years, the two illegal wars, the others that we support sub rosa, most people know nothing about or too little, the repressive police state laws that most people surely don't know enough about. I've written about all of this stuff. It literally has changed the landscape for us for the worst. It's also exacerbated what exploded as the current financial crisis. This didn't happen by accident. This was planned. It's gotten way out of hand, and these people have no idea if they can put the genie back in the bottle. But all of these things took place in the aftermath of the 9/11 event, where people get so traumatized, Bonnie, as you know, that they for no good reason put their faith in the government to bail us out of a terrible situation, not knowing that the government is very much responsible for this and will only make things worse. That's a very long...
Well, you know, Steve, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you brought up the two subjects of economics and the events of September 11th, 2001, because it's all of a piece. You mentioned Dr. Michael Hudson. I just did another interview with him yesterday. And, of course, as you know, on Friday, there was a 1,000-point swing in the Dow.
Oh, indeed.
The thing was going up and down and up and down. According to Dr. Michael Hudson, it's foreign investors taking their investments out of the United States because of the fraud and because how they've been ripped off. You're absolutely right, Steve. This is only the very beginning. And we're going into uncharted territory, and things are going to change dramatically. And events are moving very quickly, and so... we certainly live in interesting times, that's for sure. Now, you mentioned 9/11 and the beginning of a lot of this. I thought I might back up and talk a little bit about the inception of the show, because it's all coming together. I joined, well, of course, KPFA is part of the Pacifica Network. We have five stations in the United States. They all have very strong radio signals. It's community, non-commercial, community-supported radio. And at KPFA in Berkeley, they have a free news training program where you can join maybe two or three times a year and take like a short 8-week training course in the evening, a couple of nights a week, to learn how to do news reporting. And that's how I got involved at KPFA as a volunteer. I started producing a short radio news stories, and I became a field reporter, and they teach you how to put a news story together, how to write the script, get the actualities, etc. And what's interesting is that once you can do a news story, it's really the basics for doing a whole program. It's really pretty much the same idea. So you go from like a 3-minute segment to an hour. So I joined the news department in April of 2001, and then, of course, in the following September, the events of September 11th took place, and the station went to special programming. And a colleague of mine in the in the news department and I asked for airtime, because I had put in a proposal to the news department to start doing economic reporting, because there was virtually no economic reporting on the station, very little. And I believe the news directors agreed with me. And so when we got some airtime, we got a few half hours in October of 2001. I had been a volunteer for several years with Project Censored with Peter Phillips. As a matter of fact, that was my first introduction to radio. We produced a monthly radio documentary. In any case, Peter Phillips at Project Censored occasionally sends around by email a news story. And a few days before we were going to go on air live, we didn't know what we were going to do. Peter sent around a story written by an ex-policeman named Mike Rupert, and this story was about the short selling, the put options in the stock market in the days before the events of September 11th. Huge put options, bets that both United and American Airlines would drop in price. Also put options on reinsurance companies. So we had little experience. I'd never been live on air before. And we went live with Mike Rupert on October 12th, 2001, to do an economic story. And it turned out to be a 9/11 story as well. So from the very beginning, it's as if the 9/11 story chose me. It's very bizarre. Then the second segment we did was with economist Michel Chosedowski on the war of aggression in Afghanistan, and that had overtones of 9/11 as well. So for that first year, we only had occasional time on air. We did a fundraiser the following February 2002 with the one, at that time, the one video on 9/11. It was called Truth and Lies of 9/11 with Mike Rupert, and of course it made an enormous amount of money because nobody was looking at this in an objective way. It was very rare. And also remember, in those days, we didn't have all these internet shows that we have now. Pretty much the technology, we tend to forget that the technology has improved so much that the choices we have now didn't exist then. So what we were doing was very unusual and a little scary. I mean, we were really sticking our necks out, let's say. It created an enormous amount of controversy, and there were a lot of what we refer to now as gatekeepers, media mavens, who felt that this kind of programming didn't belong on the air, that
now,
it wasn't credible.
You're talking about inside KPFA?
Inside KPFA and outside KPFA, people see, I mean, there are people around who write about media, who write about what's acceptable. There's parameters where there's a real herd mentality, and people don't want to step too far out of what's considered credible for many reasons. Because of fear, because they don't want to be ostracized or criticized. It's a risky business. And so there was criticism coming in from media types, people who write, well-known people who write about media and issues, particularly issues on the left. And they were very against this kind of programming. So it was quite controversial, and what happened, the reason I think I ended up with a show is because there was a sort of a quasi-censorship happening, but the listeners were very upset about this, and, you know, KPFA is hailed as free speech radio, and people were against censorship, so it created quite a controversy. And at that time, we had a program council that consisted of community members and people within KPFA and people from other media organizations. And when a new program would get on, which was quite unusual because it's hard to get airtime, there was a vote. And so I put in a proposal for an hour-long public affairs show, assuming that it was going to be voted down. But to my shock and surprise and horror, I got a show. And I felt at that time, Stephen, that I didn't really know how to do a show. It was very intimidating.
Bonnie, I must throw in. Not all that long ago, I became an accidental writer a little over 3 years ago. The beginning of last year, I had a different program for a year. I became an accidental radio host. I had no training at all. I mean, I just literally went on the air for a full hour. On day one, I was very intimidated at the beginning, And I decided that I have to get into this very easily. So I brought in other, what I call mere mortals, friends of mine who either ran a website or did some writing or did both. And I felt that we can kind of interface the way we just would in normal conversations. That was how I eased into it. And it seemed to go fairly well. It advanced from there. I hear that music striking up. Let's take another break, Bonnie, and then you can continue with the Guns and Butter story.
All righty.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. I'm on with Bonnie Faulkner of Guns and Butter, KPFA. Bonnie, very quickly, in my case, after starting slowly, I worked my way up the food chain, and I feel now that I simply want to get the best people I can to talk about the most important issues, and I feel very comfortable getting people like that on air and having a very in-depth discussion about these things. I've got Edward Herman coming on in the second hour today with me, and he's one of my iconic figures.
Oh, that's going to be very interesting, yeah.
Oh, he's quite a man. I've read nearly all his books, and I've got Michael Hudson coming on with me next month.
Wonderful.
I know you've had him on several times at least. You had him on last Wednesday. Is he coming on again this week with you?
He's coming on again this week with me, and I just want to say, you know, it's been almost 2 years, just under 2 years, that I first had him on. Before this whole economic crisis started to gel, we did a program called America, Host or Parasite, about his 1972 book, Super Imperialism, and that's about how the United States dominates the world through debt. So Guns and Butter has been very prescient on a lot of this stuff. We started doing programming on the subprime mortgage debacle with Michael Hudson, Webster Tarpley, other people, almost 2 years ago. So we've been right on that economic stuff. It's so crucial. Back when, again, people really weren't doing any broadcasting on it.
Oh, they weren't. They weren't. I had Danny Schichter on my program a couple of times. He wrote a book called Plunder. And he is a media critic. And he has followed the media's lack of courage of the emerging financial crisis. They literally were asleep. They simply put out no vital information to people, and the only time they began doing it is when the thing just exploded. But even today, they simply don't report it accurately. People have no idea what really is going on, what the root cause is, what the right solutions could be. By the way, Michael Hudson has a new article out today on Global Research, Bonnie. He calls it, Can Congress Bail Out of the Bailout? It is a very, very long, detailed article, but as usual, he just crams it with vital information. But he just very quickly starts off saying, we are now entering the financial end time. Bailout plan A failed. That was, he says, buying up the junk mortgages. In other words, absolving the bankers, the financial institutions who made bad financial bets by simply paying them, renouncing their debt, paying them hold-to-maturity prices so they don't have to assume any losses. Well, that flopped. So plan B he's got to recapitalize banks, but nobody has any idea how much money he's going to use to bail out his friends or how much he's going to use to recapitalize or how much he's going to do it. And his comment about that is, he says, Plan B is fizzling because we've really got an enormous debt problem. And he says, and the debt still can't be paid. You bet your life they can't be paid. They're in the multi-trillions of dollars. How on earth are you going to repay those debts? But anyway,
no.
You pick it. You continue.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I have him on the show this Wednesday. And according to Michael Hudson and other people I talk to, other economists, it's a complete ripoff. I mean, he said on my show last week that the $700 billion is going to create 700 billionaires. It's interesting because they're not interested, it doesn't seem, in fixing the economy at all, because there's plenty of good ideas about what ought to be done, but it's not being done. It's not even being considered. It's not even being discussed. Money is leaving the country. Foreign investors have pulled out. And obviously, now the IMF and World Bank met over the weekend. Michael Hudson dismisses them as irrelevant at this point. The G7 met, and then the Group of 20 met, and they came out with really no plan. And Michael Hudson interprets that as meaning that the United States tried to lord it over the other countries, and they weren't going for it. And so there is no real plan. It's very scary because there is no move to fix anything. A lot of people have said we need New Deal-type measures now. We need to fix it from the bottom. We need to help people. But this is not happening.
Bonnie,
it's very
quickly,
scary.
Oh, I agree with what you said and what Michael is saying 100%. And I put out an article today called The October Surprise Global Panic. And in that article, I talk about they planned this. They planned a panic. They didn't plan one this big, but they planned a panic. And the idea behind this is what's gone on many, many times in the past. You could go back generations, and there have been financial ones. There have been all kinds of different planned panics. And the idea is to consolidate greater power. Apparently behind this panic is for three or four major U.S. banks to remain standing. People can pretty much guess who they are. Goldman Sachs, obviously, because Paulson's involved. J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Bank of America probably as well. To crush European banks, to crush banks around the world if they can, but I think heavily a war on European banks, to let the U.S. giants swoop in, pick up cheap assets to become more dominant, and apparently this is part of the U.S. plan for greater hegemony in the new century. Well, you know, whether the Europeans in the end will surrender to this, who knows? Apparently they have balked severely up to now. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, this literally is unfolding, not just day by day, Bonnie, but hour by hour.
That's right. Hour by hour, and who knows where it's going to end. It's very, very scary.
I don't think anyone knows where it's going to end, and I don't think anyone knows whether what they're doing can work. Let's break again, and we'll come right back to Guns and Butter.
All righty.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm Steve Landman, on with Bonnie Faulkner of Guns and Butter from KPFA. Oh, Bonnie, so much happening, and I'm in my mid-70s. Quite a few years older than you are. Neither of us are kids, but I guess you could call me a senior, whatever you want to call me. With all that's going on, I swear I feel 10 years older, and I have never in my life seen anything like this. Felt more insecure. All during the Cold War, which was at least 90% hoax along the way. The only threat on the planet, the only real threat on the planet during all those years was us, nobody else. That's a story all by itself. But in all those years, I never really worried all that much, maybe brief moments along the way. But today, hopefully I have whatever I've learned through the years, and I'm absolutely terrified at what I see happening. And I have no idea what's coming, but I'm very fearful that we could be in for some very, very dark times, not just economically, but by very, very severe political repression, where whatever is left of the rule of law, there's not very much, as we both know, but whatever's left may just be stripped away to protect national security. And literally, these mind manipulators are very convincing, Bonnie. They can create fear and get people to think that the government is needed to protect us, so let's give up our civil liberties so they'll take care of us to keep us safe from bad guys. Well, the bad guys are the people who are running everything in this country.
Well, you know, Steve, that takes us back, and you mentioned earlier the subject of 9/11, and I did want to say that I think that subject, low these past 7 years, has been very important to cover, because 9/11 has been used as the pretext for so much of what's happening today. It's pretty much the premise that everything rests on: the phony war on terror, the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan, the invasion and destruction of Iraq, the both Patriot Acts, the setting up of a police state here, the creation, as I said before, of this phony war on terror. This all rests on the official narrative of what went on September 11th. And my feeling all along has been that if we can deconstruct those events, we can pull the rug out from all of the rest of the stuff that we're fighting. That I think that the anti-war movement is what there exists of it, is not effective because they don't go to the root story of what this is all based on. And it's been very frustrating and very sad that people will not deal with this subject. I mean, if certain people don't want to go there, okay, fine. But one thing that I really resent is when broadcasters actually attack people who were doing the real research into what went on that day, both the physical research with regard to the explosions of the buildings, but the whole geopolitical strategy, the stand down. It's such a huge topic. What went on at the Pentagon? Was there any plane there? Just who was behind this? I mean, it was a, you know, as, you know, to put it in a nutshell, I mean, it really exists in an historical context of a war pretext incident. But so many people, even today, 7 years later, will not deal with it.
Bonnie, and it's the most important event in this country since World War II. There simply is no question about it. And the important thing is to get the facts, and of course we were lied to from A to Z. Mm-hmm. Wonderful people like David Ray Griffin, he's been on this program twice with Michelle,
mm-hmm.
They have done such extraordinary work, not being rabble-rousers, simply trying to discuss facts, lay them out logically. I read, what's the title of his first book? The New Pearl Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
The New Pearl Harbor. I read that book, and I mean, I drew my own conclusions very clearly, but he pretty much just laid things out and let readers decide for themselves. He didn't say, well, now this is what happened, and this is who did it, and so on and so forth. I mean, he simply doesn't do that. He lays out facts. He dispels myths. And again, this event is so seminal. What bothers me, and I know you too, Bonnie, is people in the so-called progressive media who won't go near this topic, or who think people like you, and I've certainly brought it up at times in my own writing, anybody who does this, Michelle has been wonderful.
Michelle
Chosudovsky, my co-host,
you know, Steve,
and editor of Global Research,
yes.
He's done such extraordinary work on this. I mean, again, people like this are attacked. They should be praised for what they do. We need others to join us in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is crucially important.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Michelle Chosudovsky, and over the years, Michelle Chosudovsky has contributed so much to Guns and Butter. As a matter of fact, my first show on September, my first hour-long broadcast on September 11th, 2002, at the inception of the show, was an interview with Michelle Chosudovsky, and we followed up with several shows, and we did our first fundraiser with Michelle Chosudovsky and offered his book, War and Globalization, The Truth Behind September 11th. Michelle has done just such incredible work and research on these events. And so he's played a big role in Guns and Butter, and I'm very grateful to him because he's been a huge help.
Well, there's no question. You couldn't have picked a better guest, Bonnie, anytime you can have him on. My only regret co-hosting with Michelle is I can't have him as a guest unless I can convince him to come on, and we'll get both hosts on the same program, and I can play host and he can play guest.
Well, I should think he would agree to that, wouldn't he?
One of these days I'm going to convince him to do that. I've mentioned it to him. I didn't get a rousing, oh, that's a great idea. But Michelle, if you're listening now, I think that would be a wonderful idea. Let me mention his, his book that I wrote a review of, that's such an important book. All of his books are so important. His book, America's War on Terrorism.
Yes.
If you want to know, if listeners want to know what the war on terrorism is all about and its roots and so on and so forth, then get hold of this book. You can get this or any of Michelle's other books, several others as well, listening on globalresearch.ca. It's very simple to get them. I can't imagine more important reading than material like this to really understand what's going on. And once we understand it, we realize it touches our lives. One of my slogans, if that's a good way to put it, it isn't the best way to put it, but one thing that I stress all the time, Bonnie, to people is we really do need to understand what's happening. Being informed is lovely, but the issue is not being informed. The issue is knowing, because these things affect us, and they affect us adversely, the way so much of it affects us adversely. And if we don't protect ourselves, no one will. It's more crucially important than ever now.
Right. And, you know, Steve, you mentioned Michelle Chosudovsky's book, America's War on Terrorism. That includes the War on Globalization, The Truth Behind September 11th. I think he added, many, many chapters to it. So that's a sort of a more complete book, but it includes that first one that I mentioned.
Oh, I think so. I think this was the updated version War on Globalization.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, I'm wondering, Steve, if people are interested in how I produce the show, because mostly Guns and Butter is not a live show. It's pre-produced. So it's very intensive.
Go into that, Bonnie. Let me just mention that you literally do this all by yourself.
Pretty much so. Yaro Amako co-produces with me, but more and more of it has to be done by me because he's got a full-time job and a family now. People might be interested in my situation. I live 50 miles away from the station, so I'm not right there in Berkeley, and I don't have offices there. I produce the show on my Mac laptop in my kitchen, actually. I go down to the station now only to do telephone interviews because I need to use the studios there for good audio. So I record it all. There's a lot of technical work involved in that. I have to record it and download it and upload it into Pro Tools, which is the software that I use to produce the show. And I bring it home. It's all in a WAV file. Sometimes I may have as much as an hour and a half worth of audio, and I have to edit that down to 52 minutes. So it's like putting together a giant puzzle to make it flow, to make it sound, and you want to have it sound like it isn't edited, even though it is. And I also like the show to have a dramatic quality to it. I like it to be exciting. I mean, after all, it's not just information. It's also a show, so it's a performance. And so I like to get the best audio possible. One thing I can't stand is listening to people talk on cell phones, for instance. I mean, with a lot of the shows that are daily broadcasts with breaking news, you have to do that. There's, you know what I mean? But
oh,
since
indeed.
I'm not forced to do that, I really like to get the best audio because it's so much more pleasant to listen to, and it makes it so much easier to understand.
Bonnie, it comes across loud and clear, and there's not even a hint of editing in the programs I've listened to.
Well, I'm telling you, it's an awful lot of work. So I'll take it down to 52 minutes, 52 edited minutes, chop it into four pieces for four tracks. Then I write a script, and I record the script, my voice, to wrap around it and edit that. And then Yaro takes those pieces and he works on the sound, on the levels, etc. And then he mixes in the music. Then we bounce it out of Pro Tools, and Yaro then makes a high-quality MP3 file, and he uploads it to the Pacifica, what it's called is the audio port. And what it is a gigantic file transfer protocol where people put up audio and other people can take it down. So that now, I mean, in the old days, I used to drive into the station with CDs, and we'd play the show off of CDs. But now the technology is so much more sophisticated, and particularly when gas prices doubled, as a volunteer, I just don't have the money to even pay for gas to drive in there, right? That's a two-hour round trip.
Exactly.
So we put the show up onto the audio port, and then the chief engineer at KPFA downloads it into the station internal system. So it's on a computer. And then when my volunteer board op, Bonnie Bone, goes in to play the show, even if I don't go in, she just has to press a button, really, and the show plays. So it's just amazing the technological advances in the last few years.
It really is amazing, Bonnie. Let me squeeze this in. People can listen to Guns and Butter so easily. Simply go to KPFA, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, kpfa.org. It's a good home page, very easy, even for people like me to navigate, Bonnie. Up on top, you spot schedule, and you just click it and go down to the schedule, and it takes you Monday through Friday. Bonnie's on Wednesday. Simply scroll down very, very simply, find the Guns and Butter box, click it, go on the program, and you can listen to the current program. You can listen to archive programs. It's very, very easy, and Bonnie, people need to listen to Guns and Butter because of the material that you put on, but please continue.
Well, I might add that the shows are all archived on the Internet, on the KPFA website, as your show is archived on your station, so people can go into the archives on a computer and listen to the shows. So that's a great service. My own website, gunsandbutter.net, has been down now, unfortunately, for the better part of a year. The server was hacked, and I've had to rely on a volunteer webmaster who's not working on the show anymore. So it's been very difficult because I need to have an Internet presence. Without an Internet presence, the show doesn't get the visibility that it deserves. But nonetheless, on the KPFA website, at the station, you can go onto the station computers, and they show a graph of the online listenership. And one of the news reporters pointed out to me, and I went and checked it myself, that when you go on Wednesdays at one o'clock, the listenership shoots up online. So it's a very popular show. There's a big audience for it. So that was very gratifying to see.
Well, there's no question why they should be, Bonnie. And you've been on a good while to build up an audience. But you talk about a controversial programming. I think probably this program is controversial. We need a lot of controversial program, or you can put any adjective on it you want. It's real. It's real information, Bonnie. That's what it is.
Oh yes. It's and I can't even believe, Steve, that I'm still going. It's been over 6 years since I've had a regular spot. I didn't know how I would get through the first 3 months, which was my contract with the station, was 3 months, and then I was getting off. And I didn't know how I would get through that, and here I am 6 years later still going.
That's an incredible
job.
Story.
I don't know how I've done it. It's just been a small miracle, I guess.
Oh, well, we need you on for many, many more years to come. I certainly hope that nothing will deter you from doing it.
Well, I'm going to keep trying to do it for as long as I can. But
week by week,
we'll
Bonnie,
see.
Week by week.
That's right. Week by week. And, of course, right now I'm concentrating on economic programming. But, you know, we've produced shows on lots of different subjects. Of course, we've covered all of the assassinations, which, oddly enough, are still not covered by other shows. They don't even go into this ancient history for some reason.
And you're talking about Martin Luther King, the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
Well,
the two stories from the 50s, they're not even covered anymore.
It's incredible.
Or they never have been.
They never have been.
I don't understand it. One interview I did was almost accidental was with a whistleblower named Indira Singh. I happened to meet her up here in Sonoma County. She was doing research on the Bohemian Grove, and she worked for J.P. Morgan Chase, as a matter of fact, and she was whistleblowing about one of their contractors. But in the process of interviewing her, I found out that she was an emergency medical technician right at Ground Zero on the day of September 11th. So I interviewed her about this. She was doing triage, and it came out in the interview that she was doing triage on 9/11/2001 near Building 7, which collapsed later on that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And she said on my show that they were the triage site was moved off around noon that day because they were expecting Building 7 to come down. And that little snippet has been picked up on the internet and now appears in other shows and in people's books.
Oh,
so you
goodness.
Never know what you're going to come up with.
Doing
the show has been
break.
A real education for me.
Well, it is for me, too. We'll take a break and then we'll finish up the hour that always goes by much too fast. Zara, funny, the hour always flies. We have a few minutes left. Talk about whatever else is important in what you do in the few minutes we have left.
Gosh, that's a hard question to answer. Things are happening so very quickly that I'm going to continue to cover this economic situation in as much depth as I can because it's so incredibly important. It is going to spill over into other areas, into all areas. Gosh, Steve, I agree with you that things are moving now, changing hour by hour, not just day by day or week by week. May I give out my email? Because my website is down, and people can't get a hold of me at gunsandbutter.net any longer. Is that all right, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
If anybody wanted to email me with a question about the show, I'm using my Yahoo address until I get the website back up. So my email is blfaulkner@yahoo.com. That's blfaulkner@yahoo.com. And if anybody has a question about the show, how I produce the show, the history of the show, you know, we've produced between 150 and 200 shows on a huge variety of subjects. So it's sort of too massive to put into a thumbnail sketch at this point. But what I try to do as a volunteer is have on guests and cover subjects that are not being covered on other shows, because there's no point for me to work for free, living on my own bank account, my own life savings, to duplicate what other people are doing. There would be no point. My only real motivation in doing this show is to present information that people cannot get anywhere else. And when I first started the show back in 2002, of course, there wasn't nearly available what is available now on the Internet. Of course, Air America didn't exist. I mean, that's only been around for what, Steve, about a year and a half.
A fairly short time.
Yeah, there are some alternatives now that didn't used to be available. Nevertheless, broadcast time on radio, there's still not a lot of alternative stuff, and it's very important to keep the radio broadband time, the broadcast time, because I think that's the way you reach people who just happen onto the show. On the Internet, people have to be a little bit more focused and informed to know where to go. But on the radio, you can pick up a lot of people who have never heard this kind of thing before.
Well, the wonderful thing about online, Bonnie, is you can discover sites and you can listen to programs anytime you want.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I usually don't listen to you live. I'm too occupied with what I'm doing.
Of course.
I listen to you from archives.
Right. And, of course, we have to deal with information overload. I can't listen to half the stuff I'd like to listen to online because, again, there's only 24 hours in a day.
Oh, exactly. I have no time to listen to my own program.
That's right. Michel Chosadovsky mentioned to me that he had never listened to his own show. I had to laugh. You know, that's right. Who's got the time?
I would listen when he comes on, but I have no time to listen to myself. Well, Bonnie, let me say this, that they're going to cut in on us very, very shortly. If people forget how to reach you, they can reach me, and I'll put them in contact with you. And the easiest way to reach me is go to Global Research, go down the bottom of any article I write. My email address is there. Shoot me an email, and I'll send you whatever information you need. But, Bonnie, they're going to cut us off momentarily. It's been a glorious hour, albeit too short. But it was wonderful having you on today. I am so happy that you came on.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for the chance. I very much appreciate it. It was wonderful to see you here in Berkeley. We had a lot of fun. We did a live
show
with Mickey Huff. Then we went out to lunch with Michael Parenti.
Michael
Parenti. That was a lot of fun.
I'm going to get him on, too.
Well, I hope you do.
Again, Bonnie, thanks.